Good morning. Happy Sabbath. Good to see each one of you. Good to see you're back. Yeah, doing well. Well, it's a beautiful Sabbath day, and I just know that the Lord has a lot of blessings for us on this day, and spiritual and physical, and he's got a lot planned for us, and we sometimes don't really recognize all that God does plan for us. And I think one of the blessings that really is overlooked maybe sometimes is the blessing that we have in getting together as God's people, as a church. All week we wait for that opportunity for God to speak to us, to be with us, and for us to fellowship with one another. And it's a time of rejoicing for us. Think of what it's going to be like when we get to heaven, and the multitudes are going to be so great we won't even be able to count them. All of the people that have been saved down through the ages are going to come together Sabbath after Sabbath, year after year, down through eternity, and worship God, and we're going to be there together fellowshipping with Him. What a joy that'll be. You know, I look around and I see there are a lot of people that are full, but they're malnourished. You think about some of the third world countries where children, you see them sometimes where people are making appeal to help children that are not doing well. They're seem to be full. They got a lot of flesh on their body, but their bellies are distended. You see that. And they've been eating a lot, but it hasn't been nourishing. And they're not healthy. They're malnourished. And I believe that, spiritually speaking, that oftentimes God's people are in the same boat. Same thing. We're full, but we're spiritually malnourished. Now, I want you to look at some of the scriptures that the Lord has impressed upon my mind. I want to bring them to you today, and I want you to turn with me, if you will, to Revelation chapter 3. I want to look at some of that, the spiritual malnourishing and how we can fix that. In Revelation chapter 3, beginning at verse number 17, I want to read the first part of that. It says there, "You say, I am rich, and I have acquired wealth, and do not need a thing." You see, that's that fullness that we have. We've got it all together. We've got everything that we need. And it seems like whenever we have a desire in our heart, it happens. We want more, we just go get it. But in Revelation chapter 3, at verse 17, in the last part of that verse, it says, "But you do not realize that you're wretched, pitiful, poor, blind, and naked." You see, we don't often understand how malnourished we really are spiritually. We know when we're hungry. We know when we've been working all day and the hunger pains start to hit. But sometimes we don't recognize the spiritual malnourishment that we actually have in our soul. But the remedy for that is in the next verse, in verse 18. It says, "I counsel you to buy for me gold refined in the fire, so you can become rich, and white clothes to wear, so that you can cover your shameful nakedness, and salve to put upon your eyes so that you can see." And God wants us to understand there is a remedy for the spiritual malnourishment that we suffer with. God wants us to be aware that He is providing a way for us to get healing. And He provides that through His Holy Spirit to every one of us. We don't have to be empty inside. We don't have to keep having all of the problems that come into our life going up and down and having the discouragement and the grief and the pain that we often suffer through. Look with me in Romans chapter 8, because I think when Paul was thinking about this same kind of topic in Romans chapter 8, beginning at verse number 11, Paul had had this experience, you know, of a new birth, of a resurrection. And in Romans chapter 8, beginning in verse number 11, it says there, "And if the Spirit of Him who raised Jesus from the dead is living in you, He who raised Christ from the dead will also give life to your mortal bodies through His Spirit who lives in you. Therefore, brothers, we have an obligation, but it is not to the sinful nature to live according to it. But if you live according to the sinful nature, you will die. But if you, by the Spirit you put to death the misdeeds of the body, you will live. Because those who are led by the Spirit of God are sons of God." So you see, Paul understood that this malnourishment that comes into the life because of a lack of God's Spirit being there, he understood what was needed to make the life come back to the person. He understood that there needed to be a resurrection spiritually in every one of us. He needed it for his own life. Hey, Paul was a great evangelist. He was called by God to do a great work for God. But before God touched him on the road to Damascus, believe me, Paul needed a resurrection in his life. He needed something different than what he was getting. You know, there are some of you here today who are listening to these words who are okay with God. You're doing fine. You've been faithful to God. You've been living up to all that God has shown you from His Word. The Holy Spirit has been prompting you and pricking your conscience and leading you, and you've been following God faithfully. And you know, our faithfulness is demonstrated by our obedience to what God has shown us in His Word. I want to encourage you. Keep up the good work. Keep following God. Keep being faithful to Him. In Matthew chapter 24, verse 13, it tells us there that he that endureth to the end, the same shall be saved. Keep being faithful to God. Keep being obedient to Him in all that He reveals to you through His Word and through the Holy Spirit. There are some, though, who have not been faithful in our churches. There are some people who are listening to this Word today who have not been faithful in their walk with the Lord. And they have put other things in the way. And they have become spiritually malnourished in their life. We have the ceremonies down, don't you think? As Christians, we know what we're supposed to be like when we come to church. When we walk through the doors, we know exactly what's expected of us. The routine, the agenda, the order of service, we got it all down pat. We know exactly how we're supposed to talk, how we're supposed to dress, how we're supposed to act. We've got all the rituals and the ceremonies and the rites and the formalism. We have it all down. But there are people who are listening today who have all of the rites and ceremonies and formalism down pat, but they're missing Jesus. They've been married to the church and not to Christ. They're lacking that spiritual resurrection in their life that Paul talked about in Romans chapter 8, verses 11 through 14. They have the form of godliness, but lack the power thereof. I refer you to Philippians chapter 3. In Philippians chapter 3, at verse number 6, Paul is speaking here, and this is what he says. In Philippians chapter 3, at verse number 6, as for zeal, persecuting the church. As for legalistic righteousness, faultless. When Paul looked at himself, when he looked in the mirror, he didn't see anything wrong. He saw himself as a devoted follower of God. And he thought he was doing everything God had called him to do, to persecute those heretics who were following Jesus. As he looked at himself in the mirror, he didn't think there was anything else that could be changed in him that could make him any more right than what he was already. But yet when you read verse number 7, it says, but whatever was to my profit, I now consider loss for the sake of Christ. What is more, I consider everything a loss compared to the surpassing greatness of knowing Christ Jesus my Lord, for whose sake I have lost all things. I consider them rubbish, that I may gain Christ and be found in Him, not having a righteousness of my own that comes from the law, but that which is through faith in Christ, the righteousness that comes from God and is by faith. I want to know Christ and the power of His resurrection and the fellowship of sharing in His sufferings, becoming like Him in His death, and so somehow to attain to the resurrection from the dead. You see, Paul recognized there was a need for change. He understood what he was like before he got to that road to Damascus, but he recognized there was a need after he had met Jesus for him to be something different than what he had been. All of that formalism, all of that ceremonialism, all of those things that he clung to before, he knew that he now needed a living faith in the living Christ Jesus. That's the need that you and I have today. For everyone listening to my voice today, that is the deepest need of our soul today, is to know Christ and Him crucified. Listen, friends, I hope you don't misunderstand what I'm saying. If you've been in the church for a long time and you understand how church operates, I'm going to tell you, you don't need more religion. We don't need more formalism. We don't need more ceremonies, more rites, more rituals. We don't need any more of that. We've got enough. Ever since this church has been raised up, Every pastor that has stood in this pulpit has preached Jesus Christ and Him crucified. Every time we listen to a preacher on the radio, and we see one on TV, and we go to evangelistic meetings, and we listen to the Word of God spoken, God is speaking about the need that you and I have in our lives. He's speaking to us personally. And we don't need more religion, friends. What you and I need is more of Jesus. We need more of Christ in our lives. When we open up the hymn books, friends, we don't sing songs about, I need more church. No. In John chapter 12, verse 32, Jesus said, if I be lifted up, I will draw all people unto me. When we open the hymn books, we sing about Jesus. When we open the Word of God, we listen to Jesus speaking to the deepest needs of our human soul. We listen to God speaking to us personally in our hearts. And we don't need more rituals. We don't need more ceremonies. We need more of Jesus. There are a lot of people that have controversy in their life because they have not made things right with Jesus. And I say to everyone listening to my voice today, stop the controversy. Settle the issue today. Come to Jesus. Accept Him as a personal Savior. And end that controversy today, once and for all. In Ecclesiastes chapter 12, verse 14, it says, "For God will bring every deed into judgment, including every hidden thing, whether it is good or evil." I refer you back to the Old Testament, to the book of Amos. In Amos chapter 8, at verse number 11, "The days are coming, declares the Sovereign Lord, when I will send a famine through the land, not a famine of food or of thirst for water, but a famine of hearing the words of the Lord. Men will stagger from sea to sea and wander from north to east and searching for the word of the Lord, but they will not find it." You see, there is coming a time, friends, and even though we don't recognize it today, because we're full and malnourished, we think everything will go on just as it always has. But the Word of God tells us there are going to be great changes take place in our existence here on this earth before Jesus returns. And the Word of God is not going to be available to us. And if we have not been reading it on a daily basis, locking it up in our hearts, we will be destitute of the Word of God, and we will be like these people wandering from one end of the earth to the other looking for the Word of God. And God is calling for us to spend time with Him, to study His Word. The Spirit of God has put a longing in the heart of every human being. Many don't know what they're looking for. Some do. But I know this. No matter how we search for it, no matter where we go, no matter what we involve ourselves in, friends, there is nothing on earth that can satisfy the longing of your soul and mine like Jesus can. Nothing. Nothing on earth can satisfy the thirsting and hungering that we have down deep in our souls. Yeah, I know we get involved with a lot of other things that we think make us happy, that bring joy, that give us some exhilaration, that give us this warm, fluffy feeling, you know. Only Jesus can really bring the real hunger and the thirsting to fruition. He's the only one that can satisfy that. Only Jesus. And many people search for satisfaction in their riches, in intellectual philosophies and appetites and honor and power and on and on and on. And you can think of a million different ways that people search for that. But there is only one way that that hungering and thirsting will ever be satisfied. And that's when we come to Jesus and have this renewal take place in our life, this resurrection that Paul talked about in Romans. In Jeremiah chapter 29, beginning at verse number 12, listen to what the prophet Jeremiah has to say. "Then you will call upon me, and I will listen to you. You will seek me and find me when you seek me with all of your heart." Are you doing that today? Have you been seeking God with all of your heart? See, this is a promise from God. We don't have to wander around out in the world searching in all avenues of life trying to find something that will satisfy the hungry and thirsting of our soul. God says, you come and seek for me in the Word and you will find me. It's a promise from Him. And the reason we don't find God is because we haven't been seeking. If we want to know God, we have to take the effort and the time to seek for God. You look back in Matthew chapter 5 in verse number 6. When Jesus talks about hungering, He uses a Greek word that means to be famished, to crave, to be hungry. And you think about the experience of Israel as they wandered through the desert for 40 years. God provided them with everything they needed physically. He provided them for everything that they needed spiritually. Their clothes never wore out in all the years that they wandered in the desert. And every place they went, day after day after day, God provided them with the food that would keep them alive. And God gave them water out in this dry, dusty land where no water was at. And to beat it all, it came out of a rock. Whoever sees anything like that today, except for these man-made fountains. God provided for their needs, and it was an illustration of His provisions for us day after day, that they're so bountiful that we can never exhaust them. God provides for you and I. Jesus was the sustainer of their life, and He is the sustainer of our life as well. We can only live by hungering and feeding on Him and His Word. Those people who were in the desert, the Israelites, as they wandered, they thirsted just like you and I do today. And I believe if we talk to anybody that lives over there in that particular area of the world, they would tell you it gets pretty hot and dry. They get thirsty. They need water. They can't survive without it. And Jesus made sure that He gave them the water they needed. In fact, if you read 1 Corinthians chapter 10, it says that that rock that they followed after was that rock, Jesus Christ. That is where they got the water from that sustained them out in the wilderness. Listen, friends, when our thirsting for after something in our lives that we can't put a finger on sometimes, we don't know what it is, and so we go out in the world searching all over. Listen, the thirsting and the hungering of our soul is to know Jesus and to know that He has accepted us above all other things. And that thirsting that we have in our souls can only be satisfied by the rock, Jesus Christ. That's the only place it can really come from. In Revelation chapter 22, at verse number 17, listen to the appeal that Jesus makes to you and I. The Spirit and the bride say, come, and let him who hears say, come. Whoever is thirsty, let him come, and whoever wishes, let him take the free gift of the water of life. In Revelation chapter 7, at verse number 17, we see here a picture illustrated of who Jesus is. Revelation 7, verse 17 says, for the Lamb at the center of the throne will be their shepherd. He will lead them to the springs of living water, and He will wipe away every tear from their eyes. What a day that will be. Oh, what a day of rejoicing that'll be, friends. Hey, we don't have to give medication to anybody because they're sick, right? We don't have to worry about going to a funeral because somebody we know has died. We don't have to worry about the grief and the burden and the pain and the crying anymore. We don't have to worry about being sick anymore. We don't have to carry around this burden of guilt in our soul because of something that the devil has brought upon the human family from back in the Garden of Eden. We don't have to carry that anymore. Guess what, friends? You don't have to carry that burden of guilt today. Jesus has provided a way of escape for you and I. It is through Christ and Christ alone that the burden will be lifted. He died at the cross of Calvary, friends, so that you and I would not have to carry that burden of guilt. He came to set us free, to set us at liberty. That doesn't mean liberty to sin. Doesn't mean liberty to go out and do anything we want now because we're free in Christ. No, what that means is that because Jesus has set us free, we're at liberty to follow Him without the burden of guilt. We don't have to worry about the consequences of that guilt and the punishment that is associated with it because Jesus has taken our guilt and He has set us free from that punishment. Can you praise the Lord for that today? Amen. What a gracious God we have in Jesus who has set us free. In Matthew chapter 5 at verse number 6, Jesus says, blessed are those who hunger. Blessed are those who hunger and thirst for his righteousness. Blessed. It means to be fortunate, well off, happy. And he also makes a promise that these people that he's speaking to are going to be filled. The Greek word that he uses there means not just to be kind of taking a snack in between meals. No, what he's talking about here is like an animal that hasn't eaten for 3 days, and they come to their prey and they kill it and they gorge themselves until they can't swallow another bite. They gorge themselves on the righteousness of Christ. They supply food in abundance to fill, to satisfy completely. That's what Jesus does for us. It's not just a little snack that we get once in a while in between meals. It's not just a little snack that we get in between the weeks that we're at church. No, Jesus wants us to gorge upon his righteousness on a daily basis, to open his word and allow his Holy Spirit to feed us for what we really long for in our souls. And Jesus appeals to you and I to come to him to satisfy the longing of our souls. He wants us to quench our thirst, to gorge ourselves on him, and to satisfy that spiritual hunger that we have. In Luke chapter 11, verse 10, it says, "For everyone who asks receives. He who seeks finds, and to him who knocks, the door will be open." You know, in Matthew chapter 4, Jesus is, you look in verses 23 through 25, Jesus is healing all of the people's maladies. All their physical ailments, they came, they brought their friends and relatives, they put them before Jesus, and he lifted the burden from them physically. And when he had lifted their physical burden and gained their confidence, then he was able to speak to them about the hungering and thirsting of their soul. And he was able to reach out to them, and he spoke to them about this deepest need that they had in their life was not the physical healing, but what needed to happen in that resurrection of the heart. They needed something different in their life. Jesus was speaking to them about their soul. He was speaking to them about the blessings that he could give them from heaven, and only the righteousness of Christ that he had to offer could satisfy the longing that they had. And that's the same for you and I today, friend. Nothing can satisfy the longing, the hungering and thirsting that we have deep down in our soul except Jesus. No matter how we get distracted, no matter how we go off in different avenues looking for other things, only Jesus can bring real satisfaction. And Jesus invites us to come to him today. He invites us to come to him and be filled. And so I invite you today in the name of Jesus to just stand right where you're at. If you want to have Jesus in your life and you want to have your soul filled, you want that thirsting and hungering to be satisfied with Jesus and his righteousness, I invite you to stand today. And wherever you're listening to the voice of Jesus spoken today, whatever your commitment, I want to pray for you. Dear Heavenly Father, today, we thank you for Jesus and what he's done for us on Calvary. We thank you, Lord, that he has lifted the burden of guilt from us and has set us free. We thank you, Lord, that as we open the Word of God, we can hear Jesus speaking to our hearts personally. He can speak to our deepest needs of our soul, and he can quench the thirsting and the hungering that is there. Thank you, Jesus, for every decision that's being made today. And we ask this in your precious name. Amen.